Hello and welcome to the Collectors of Power podcast. I am Bob, also known as Superman 8428, and with me tonight here is Ryan and Rhino. You guys want to say hi?
Hello.
Hey guys.
Hello everyone.
Tonight we're going to stick with the audio format. Hopefully everybody likes that part. I know everybody's going to be sad not seeing our sexy faces, but too bad. Deal with it. Anyways, being that it is the month of October still and in the season of Halloween, thought we would talk about our favorite Horde comics. So, Ryan, what do you have in store for us? Which one's your favorite Horde comic?
Oh, you know, as many of you know, there's the ginormous mini comic book collection that is out there, and there's so much out there to look for. I am not privy enough to have read every single one of these yet, so I had to like skim through it. But I think the one that I like the most is with Thunder Punch He-Man, the Treachery of Modulok.
Yeah, the best He-Man is what you said.
And I bet hopefully none of you picked the same one, because we didn't talk about what ones we were picking. So we might all have the same one, which is awesome, because that means we are all cohesive, which is awesome. But yeah, it's so funny because I really like it just because, one, it introduces a new character. But I love the part when, let's see here, where was it at? Where he gets the powers from the sorceress, and he's like, what do I do with these? And she's like, you'll know when to use it. And then it's like, then she's like, okay, use it now. And it's like, well, how is he supposed to know to use it? You just told him to use it. It's like, that literally makes no sense.
And for those of you that are listening that have the book, it is page 549 that the story starts.
Yep. And, 549 is the main cover, then into 550. And then I think the funniest part is at the end when, after he's, defeated Modulok and, Skeletor and them all run off in the Land Shark and whatnot, like, He-Man literally stands at the end and he's, like, flexing and, like, Tila's just like standing there, like drooling over him. I think it's just hilarious. So, I think it's great. It's just one of my favorites. It's just so cool. You get so many new things. You get a new character, new He-Man outfit, and it's just one of my all-time favorites. Having read a lot of the Horde ones leading up to this this episode here.
All right, Rhino. What about you?
So for me, let me piggy off Ryan's first. I do love that this is kind of a throwback. The sorceress giving He-Man the Thunder Punch armor is kind of a throwback to the original mini comic when she gave him two separate harnesses that looked identical. One created a force field, and the other one enhanced his strength by quite a bit. So I do love that they are continuing this theme of him getting the powers that he needs from the sorceress for the mission that he's on. So I do love that. I'm glad Ryan picked that as his comic because that is fantastic. For me, this is probably going to come as a surprise to no one who follows me on Twitter or has heard me on any of our future podcasts, but The Warrior Machine is my favorite mini comic out of the Horde collection because we get introduced to two characters. We get Dragstor and we get Extendar. Both of which are stories about making a deal with the devil, in this case, the devil being Hordak. Dragstor absolutely loves the power that he's given, and he loves being evil and using it to attack He-Man and everything. Extendar signs up because he wants to be like his hero, He-Man. He wants to be a force of good, and he wants to follow in those footsteps. Only to find out that that power comes with a price. Anytime I see a story like this where you have someone who, makes a deal and it blows up in their face, I think that's such a classic trope that always works out well. And in this case, when he is in his extended form, he is very strong and very powerful and fights the corruption that Hordak puts into him and turns that into a force for good. So of the Hordak themed mini comics, that one's my favorite because it really is such a great cautionary tale, like the cartoons we had as kids.
Yep. And just FYI, for those who have the book, it is page 689 if you wanted to read along. I think it's funny. I'm just flipping through because actually I don't think that's one that I read. But I love there's one part. Hordak's like, now Extendar, just say the words. And he's like, I'm Extendar, Tower of Power.
Yeah.
That's so cheesy. You gotta love 85 comics. And I think it fits the theme of just even regular comics. Like, I think back reading like Spider-Man in those times, like you just read it and you're just like, God, these are awful. There's like nothing to them.
But that's such an important component to the transformations of our childhoods. Yeah. You know, they had a vocal component to them that facilitated the transformation. So I am Extendar, Tower of Powers. A pretty cool phrase for that time period.
Yeah. And in that comic, too, with Extendar, I mean, to me, it seemed he's almost kind of childlike, or you could relate to him more, because even in the beginning, they're watching the race, and he's like, come on, Adam, this is really boring. Like, where's He-Man?
Yes.
So, you know, like most of us at that time, reading any of these or watching the cartoon, you're like, come on, let's get to the He-Man part.
Yeah, and I definitely love the last frame of it, where Extendar's like, I know, but I just wanted to be like you, He-Man. Everybody wants to be as strong and as heroic as you. And He-Man's like, just be yourself, Extendar. That alone is a pretty heroic thing. Like, you know, it fits the theme of the filmation, you know, at the end, kind of the, you know, this is what happened. Don't let this happen to you type of thing. So, yeah, it's a great one. I like that.
It's very much a PSA, and I love that.
So I actually kind of cheated. I have two comics. So the first one that I want to talk about actually is a newer one. It's the new Night of the Leech that came with Leech and Mantana. And
that's a good one.
Snout Spout, because those people that actually follow me that kind of actually read my bio, which is probably like one or two people, you know, I work in psychiatry, so I was actually looking at this from the psych perspective of it. Because in this comic, you know, there's Zodak and, you know, the evil warrior that's somehow hanging out with this guy.
You mean heroic?
Uh-huh, yeah. And old Snout Spout and Buzz Off and He-Man, and they're, I don't even remember what they're doing. They're going to go fight the Horde or whatever, but you know, they come in and they capture everybody, but there's a PTSD element to it. It talks about Snout Spout being captured previously and being tortured. So, you know, not your 1980s kid-friendly comic.
Such a great rework of his origin, too. Mm-hmm. I love that. I love that he, you know, in addition to just being a firefighter, he actually has Horde tie-ins, especially with the slime pit. So great.
Yeah, you know, and the artwork's just great in this thing. And you get to see, you know, they're turning everybody into zombies. And, you know, you actually get to see zombie He-Man. It's freaking fantastic.
Yeah, actually, that's actually one I hadn't read, and I just pulled it out here. And,
oh, well, spoilers!
No, you're fine. I literally read it in like 4 seconds here, so okay. It's not, they're not. I definitely love Snout Sprout in the last one. Smart move, sucker!
So the other comic, though, that I had is, you know, one from the 80s, though, is the Power of the Evil Horde featuring He-Man and Skeletor, which actually was actually more of a book that came with a record, but it came with the Hordak and Grizzler 2-pack. But the art in this thing is just phenomenal. If I remember right, yeah, the art was by the great Bruce Timm.
Is beautiful.
Yeah, those of us that are following along with the book, it's page 564, 565 as far as the first two pages. But again, it's just beautiful art. And the story, I mean, the story is good too. Don't get me wrong.
Did Bruce Timm also write that, or did he just illustrate it?
I think he did. I want to say he did both, but don't quote me on that now.
Yeah, it doesn't say in here. Yeah, no, that is some great artwork in there.
Yeah.
It's awesome.
Yeah, I mean, you get the Horde, you get He-Man, you get Skeletor, you get the White Sorceress. Let's see here.
I think it's funny that...
It's just gorgeous. It's really well done.
Yeah.
I think it's funny that Mantenna has, like, it looks like his four legs are fused together, two and two.
Yeah.
It's like, wow, well, they kept with the toy, I
guess. Yeah, it's like they handed him the toys and said, hey, can you make this into a book? you know, but it has Orko actually playing a bigger role in it. So, it again, it's just, if anybody has the book, definitely, you know, read that one. If you don't have the book, you should. It's great. If anybody out there really has been hesitant to get this mini comic collection book, I mean, definitely pick it up. I mean,
yeah, I've linked it on my Twitter multiple times. So if you want to find it, know which one we're talking about. It is linked in there. And
for those that don't know, you know, about Bruce Timm and stuff, I mean, he, you know, granted, again, don't quote me on this. I think he started off working on the He-Man stuff, you know, but then later went on to, you know, make Batman the Animated Series, you know, little unknown series that most people probably haven't heard of.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but again, this artwork even back then was just freaking great.
Yeah, like 580, page 580, again, if you're following along, like just him fighting the tree in the Fright Zone, just, it's such an iconic, like, it's such great artwork.
Oh, yeah, on 586 and 587 where, you know, He-Man decks Hordak, and he's flying across both pages.
Yeah, the two-pager. Those are awesome. Yeah. I love those kind of like that. All right, now I need to mark this one and read it. Oh, it's right after my pages. Sweet.
Yep. Yeah.
Cool.
It's great how Bruce Timm took the designs and simplified them as they are in Filmation. You know, He-Man's harness doesn't have the extra red squares on it. You know, it's really simplified down. But the way that they colored and shaded the panels just really brings it to life and makes each panel beautiful. It also has the reminiscent feel of the first wave of mini comics where there was one illustration with words at the bottom. Mm-hmm. I mean, these still have the comic panels, but it's really one illustration per page instead of, you know, the comics that we're used to now where you have multiple boxes and multiple bubbles and your eyes read along the page to read the story. This is one beautiful illustration per page with writing at the top and bottom. And it's just so gorgeous. It's obviously some mixed media, you know, colored pencils and markers and stuff, but it's just so well done. It's really gorgeous.
Yeah, and within the story, they have the Fright Zone playset, which, you know, as an adult looking back on it, it's not that fantastic, but the way that it's drawn in here, like, I want this thing. I mean, I want this tree that actually wraps up He-Man, you know, on this like mud monster or whatever the heck it is that just like comes up and grabs him while he's trying to save Orko that's, you know, locked up.
Well, I think it's funny because, like, you see him walking to it on page, like, 579, mm-hmm. and it literally is, it is the playset. Like, you have the hole, you have the crate, the crate, the jail cell, the tree, and then, like, you flip a page, and then you see the monster coming out, and I mean, that's what the Fright Zone is.
Yeah, no, and, I mean, it is definitely accurate.
Yep.
It's just the interaction and the stuff in the actual artwork is just, wow.
Yeah,
you know, and then the dragon, it looks great too. Of course, you know, I'm sure it looked a lot better too back in the 80s. The ones you see now at any of the flea markets or toy shops you go to are the puppets all busted up.
I've been a very vocal proponent against the Fright Zone playset just because I never had it, so I don't have the nostalgia tied to it. And just looking at it, you know, it seems kind of boring, but I have to agree with both of you that reading this mini comic really brings the playset to life and makes me want to get it and interact with it.
Mm-hmm.
I do love the classic monster feel of the Horde that was originally released in the toys and in the mini comics. As we've talked about before, you know, the Horde, the original wave, has a correlating person with Skeletor, his evil minions, you know, Grizzlord is Beastman and Mantenna is Triclops and so on and so forth. But I just love the classic monster feel of them and how they incorporated that element of horror into He-Man toys. It's such a great group of baddies.
Yeah, and like you, I didn't have the Fright Zone either. I mean, I had Castle Grayskull, I had Snake Mountain, and then that was it. You know, but I had quite a few of the figures, though. I mean, I had Mantenna, I had a couple of the Hordax, I had, or still have, Grizzlor. You know, but I never actually had Leech.
You know, I love Hurricane Hordak and his gimmick where he has the straight arm, and you put the different weapons in there, and then you spin the gear on his back, and the weapons all move. Given the recent unfortunate change in Mechaneck, I'm really scared to see if we do get a Hurricane Hordak, what his lack of gimmick will be. But at least we got Buzzsaw early in the release, and he has a similar gimmick to what he had originally.
If they've got Buzzsaw to work, though, I'd like to think they'd be able to get that one to work.
Hopefully. Because
that's the one that I played with the most as a kid, actually. You know,
was Buzzsaw or Hurricane?
The Hurricane, because I had the little, you know, twirling things
on it.
Yeah, it
was so great.
Yeah.
So great. I definitely think we will be able to get an Origins Fright Zone, given how, you know, this playset, while it's big in size, it's not overly complex with, you know, gimmicks and pieces and components. It's relatively straightforward. So I think we should be getting this in Origins.
Yeah, I mean, to me, that's more like a, you know, $50 to $70 one, you know, because there's not a lot to it.
It's almost like the. Almost like the. Oh, I'm going to say it wrong because I don't remember off the top of my head. In the CGI one with the big snake and the long.
Yeah, the snake attack.
Yeah, that's what it was. I couldn't remember the name of it. I think that. Yeah, I think. I mean, it wouldn't be too much bigger than that. So hopefully.
What do you guys think about the chances of getting a slime pit?
Oh, I want a slime pit. I've seen like three of them, but they're always missing something around town. And I'm like,
no, but I mean, what about in Origins, though?
Oh, I know. That's why
how does that not get made? It's very straightforward, relatively simple gimmick. Slime is still able to be purchased. You know, it's not anything that you can't go to a retailer now and pick up. I just can't imagine how we don't get this. I do like some of the ideas that have been floated around on Twitter that, like, maybe the Fright Zone and the Slime Pit actually connect in the Origins version. There's, like, a way for those two pieces to go together rather than just two standalones.
That'd be great.
But I can't imagine that we don't get that in this wave. And, again, there's an opportunity for another He-Man variant, which Mattel loves doing because it's, you know, they get to reuse the mold but make money. So.
You know, I literally had this conversation with my wife today because one of our best friends was super kind to us and got us some kinetic sand for my oldest birthday party yesterday. So any parents out there that have had their kids play with kinetic sand know what I mean, that it frickin' is horrible and it gets everywhere. So my wife said, if you get slime pit, you will get served divorce papers.
Well, you should be like, can I get slime pit with no slime?
Yeah, that was
just
her
use
case.
Kinetic sand.
If you bring if you bring slime into this house, we are done. 17 years down the drain.
My aunt literally at Christmas gave my son like a 10-pack of slime. He has never played with it because it's in the basement.
and again I had a lot of these. You know, I didn't have the Fright Zone, but I did have all the others. And I remember when Slime Pit came out. And I asked my mom for it, and, you know, a lot of times my grandma would buy a lot of this stuff for me, but I lived with her at the time, and we did not get that one. And now being a parent, I understand why, because little ADD Bobby would have fucked up the whole house, you know, and got slime everywhere.
It would have been like the Ghostbusters, ectoplasm everywhere.
Yeah, and I could see it now. I could just see how my Grizzlor would look now with that slime still in the hair. It would be great.
Not to bring about your divorce, but I have purchased for friends of mine's children. They do make edible slime now that's made by, like, I can't remember if it's like, I think it's maybe Jell-O that makes it. So it comes in like a powdered form, like Kool-Aid. You add water to it, and it becomes slime that's safe for kids to eat and get places. It won't stain anything, you know. And if they put it in their mouth, it's no big deal. It's made to be eaten. So maybe that will be a good change out to keep you happily married.
You know, but I'd be okay though if they went the route that they did with the mega constructs, though, where it was the fake plastic slime.
Yeah, for sure.
You know, because let's be real, though. A lot of the people that are buying these things are just going to display it.
Yeah.
You can't just display the slime hanging off, not in a good way, unless you actually, like, make it out of resin and make it out of plastic.
Yep.
I think the Mega Construct slime pit is fantastic. Mm-hmm. I know a lot of people online have said, oh, we need to get a proper one. I don't like the Skeletor head one, you know, but... I mean, it's not much different than what the toy was. It's very similar, and I think it's a great compromise. I love the dangly silicone slime, and I would be perfectly content if Origins went that route, just packaged it with the Horde slime He-Man figure.
Yeah. Yeah, so if Mattel's listening, please save my marriage.
That'd be great. So, you know, it's so funny you talk about – we're talking about slime, and I think – I think that's really good for like this for the Halloween theme that we're kind of going for here. But it was like I was Googling it up because I couldn't remember what it was. But I had that the turtle one. It was the you would lay the turtle in the bed and then you'd put it in like the trash can and then it would like slowly fall down. And then again, like you say, you forget about it because you're like, okay, now I'm gonna go play something else. And it just sits in there and it gets all that dry, crusty, gross. Like I don't think I ever got it on the floor because I think. You'd be divorced. I'd probably be dead now. Yeah. Because I remember buying. We bought this Berber carpet. Oh, I hated it because you could never like lay on it on your elbows because it was that little like. It's not soft and so
scratchy.
Oh my god, I hated it. But again, I remember never getting in it. But yeah, like again, I think what you both just said, like my Mega Construct sitting right over here, and I think that would be awesome because it looks like it's coming down, and maybe give us different lengths, you know, so you could be like on top of them if you wanted it. Or I think that would be creme de la creme, and I would buy that in a heartbeat.
Mm-hmm. You know, and granted, even if you did that and it came with the plastic slime. Anybody could go out there and get actual slime, though, because like you said, it's still sold everywhere.
Yep.
There's recipes everywhere to make it. So if you really wanted to do it, you could still do it. But I think the plastic one would be a lot better for display purposes.
Yep, 100%.
For sure.
Yep.
You know, and those that don't like the Skeletor head, you know, I mean, I get it, but it, to me though, it's kind of cool. I like that the Skeletor head was kind of like glow in the darkish green, you know, zombie green. Anyways, although I never did actually test it if it glows in the dark. Has anybody tested it?
No, I haven't. So was that yeah, really Skeletor's head on top?
Well, no, Skeletor. Sorry. As far as the actual like what it all comes
the playset was Skeletor's head, and then you open it up and you build slime pit out of it.
For the mega constructs, not the.
Oh! I thought you. Yeah. I'm sitting here looking at the big, and I'm like, "What are you talking?" Yeah. No, okay, the mega.
Yeah, Ryan's head just exploded.
Like that is not Skeletor's head on top of the ginormous playset. You're all full of shit.
I mean, it could be.
Well, when you said it came out of it, I'm like, it doesn't fit in there. I've seen it. It fits in the palm of my hand, and this thing is ginormous.
It was Battlebone's cousin.
Like a Battlebone's. Yeah.
Yeah.
It looks like a Battlebone's skull.
You know, and that's something else that we still don't have, though, that would be great, would be Battlebone's. You know, I know they had it for the Mega Constructs. Super easy. Yeah.
Yeah, super easy for Mattel to make.
And it would be great for next October for Halloween, you know? More skeleton stuff I could stick out in my yard.
Or we could just have it for this Halloween. You know, they could mail it out in the next 2 weeks. That'd be
totally.
Like the Skeleton Warriors that were previewed at SDCC.
Yeah, I'm still kind of surprised that we haven't heard anything about those yet. But again... I'm happy with everything they've already told us. You know, they've already told us so much. It's great that we've got to see them, but, you know, I'm still kind of surprised that those aren't coming with Eternia.
I was going to say, watch them be a stretch goal, 12,000 backers.
Well, as soon as we get to five.
Oh, man.
We are currently at 4,193 backers. We are 83% funded.
Oh, so
and
20 more people.
As long as you do it in the first 7 days. Yeah, as long as you do it in the first 7 days, you're going to get King Grayskull. So I feel
that's what I'm worried about, though.
We're going to get.
You can't tell me that anybody's going to hop on it. You can't tell me anybody's going to hop on it if it's not funded by day seven, though. I mean, what's the point?
Yeah, I mean, you're missing out on the.
Point is you still get Eternia. I mean,
yeah,
you miss out on that figure, but you still get Eternia. I think there'll be a drastic drop off for sure, but I think it will be funded before Wednesday.
Yeah,
I mean at this point, we only need 807 backers.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know though. I mean, again, I still think they're losing a lot of people since the increased fees for the international buyers.
Maybe, but I had people PM me on Twitter kind of separately and like they showed me their screenshot and they were like, it was how much it was to ship it in. And I'm like, man, you guys are crazy, but you know, power to you if you need it.
No, I mean, there are some doing it. Yeah. But not everybody that wants to.
Yeah. Well, and like, I think one of the gentlemen I was talking to is like, he was saying like, why don't they just ship it over to the UK? Even if it comes later, like ship 500 of them and then you don't have to charge as much shipping, you know, like,
yeah, exactly.
I'm sure they transfer stuff all the time, like throw an extra pallet or two on a boat or a plane or something. I don't know. It's crazy. I mean, I know Rhino, you've backed it. Bob, have you?
No, I said before, I just don't have the space. And with my kid's birthday party and Christmas coming up, I just
can't. Yeah, I know. I haven't either. Yeah. I keep looking at it. My husband's like, you can get it if you want. And I'm like, no, don't tell me that. I mean, I see the Mondo like Battle Cat and I'm like, oh God, that looks good too. It would go great with my He-Man. And that's like $499. But I'm just like, God, I can't get both. So I have to decide what I want. And I haven't decided yet.
Granted, there's still a few more days for me to cave. So we'll see how it goes.
Yeah, right.
I knew there was going to be tremendous regret down either path of either purchase or not purchase. If I didn't get it, and it got funded, you know, with the eBay fees, I would never be able to get it again. I knew if I was ever going to get it, this was the chance. If I was ever, you know, I can't afford a vintage one, this is the shot. Even at the outrageous price of $666.14, this is my only shot. So I knew if I didn't get it, there would be some FOMO and regret. The reason I did do it is, one, I can't get vintage, and two, if I get it and I'm like, you know what, it's just taking up too much space, it's not that much fun to play with, I spent way too much money on it, I can resell it.
Yeah, so I don't think you have an issue with that.
There is a way of reselling it. So
I'll buy it for me for $25.
Yes, yes.
Well, that's going to be the kicker,
half my surcharge.
I mean, that's the kicker, though. If you do sell it, like, your shipping is going to be, it's going to be more than what Mattel's would be because they, you know, they're getting their shipper discount, I'm sure. But like, I mean, I know ship.
Yeah. You can't tell me that's not going to be at least like it's got to be more than $100 to ship that thing.
Oh yeah. Easily. Easily.
Cause if it's, I'm assuming it's going to be a bigger box than the one from the '80s. And that was a big box.
Yeah. So let me ask you this, Rhino. Sorry, just hypothetically, let's say you purchase this, you can't cancel. So like it's been funded, whatever. And then 6 days later, you see a vintage, brand new in box Eternia for $1,000 and you have the money. Would you get it because you know you've got Origins coming, or would you pass on it?
So, that's a tough question. The only reason that I would be anti-vintage is because, you know, I've watched a lot of YouTube videos since Mattel released this to kind of see if it was worth the value a lot. And there's a lot of complaints about the tram and the plastic drying out and cracking and breaking and, you know, the line arms breaking and stuff. So the vintage one does not seem to hold up well. So I think at that point, you know, you're not buying it to ever really play with it. You're buying it just to say you have it. Whereas this one, I think it's going to have a little bit more play to it. So, you know, it just depends. Are you wanting one just to set up to say, oh, I've got it? Or are you wanting one that you're actually going to want to sit down and play with? I mean,
yeah.
As you all know, I play with my toys still. Yeah. Post a lot of pictures on Twitter and post a lot to you all of me, like, actually enjoying my stuff. So
quit playing with yourself.
One, yes, absolutely. If I did get the vintage one, it would just be to say I had it, not to really enjoy it.
Yeah.
Devil's advocate here, though, what if the plastic is just as fragile with a new one, and you get it in, let's see, it comes out when?
March early, 2024.
Yeah, March 2024, so you get it about December, because that's how it works for you,
that's how
2024,
it works for me.
And then for sure. You break the tram the week first week. How pissed are you?
I mean, that, pretty livid.
Yeah.
Pretty livid. I'm going to be very upset. Because, again, like you all said, I don't have anywhere to store this thing either. I've got a folding table in the middle of my office, and it's just going to have to permanently live on that, because there is nowhere to store this thing. It's just too big.
You're going to have to build you're going to have to build, like, stackable ones, you know, so you can have, have it on a platform, and then you can store more stuff on top of it.
Maybe right. Buy, like, a tiny home to put in my yard to just put Eternia in.
It's your he shack.
It's so big. Yeah,
that's what you need. You need a he shack that looks like Grayskull.
Is it going to be the same dimensions? Am I going to be able to put my vintage Blaster Hawk on top of it, or is it going to be just slightly different? So that
I think it's bigger. I think it might be just it might be a little bit bigger, because I heard that it'll actually take the Masterverse figures too.
So I need a new Blaster Hawk.
Of course.
That's how they multiples. Get you. That is how they get you.
Yeah, that's like you talk about tiny home, like, are my basements unfinished? And, like, you know, I want to finish it. That'll never happen anytime soon. But what I really want to do is I want to get, you know, like you had the big table in your middle, a folding table. I want to just get that, and I want to just buy, like, the styrofoam and carve it out and make it, like, look like a big terrain and have Grayskull on one side and Snake Mountain on the other. And then if I got Eternia, it could be, like, right in the middle. But I just want this, like, ginormous. And my husband's always like, what are you going to do with it? I'm like, well, first of all, it'll be a kick-ass display. And second of all, like, if Logan wants to go down, my son wants to go down and play, like, he can go down. He's not going to break. Like, if it's foam, if he breaks it, I'll just color in the hole he makes or whatever, like, but I really want to do that. But it's just like, I just sit here and think, that just takes time, and I don't have time, but it would be awesome. So maybe one day
if I had the space, I would so do that.
Well, you can come play with my toys. Rhino will play with his, you can play with mine.
Future vacation, just going to your guys' house to play with your toys.
Yes. That sounds amazing, actually. And
this is a rotating schedule.
If there's any listeners out there getting Eternia, please post in the comments how you're going to display yours. I'm looking for ideas other than a folding table. So please share what you're going to do with yours.
I am surprised, though. I mean, I hear quite a few people, you know, fair amount of people that want to open it up and play with it. But there's a lot of people that just want to keep the damn thing in the box.
Yep.
And I get it. It takes a lot of space. I also get it that some people like to keep things in the box, but unless you're going to resell the damn thing, what's the point? And,
yeah,
you know, I don't want to just stick it in a closet and then, like, forget about it for 20 years.
Yeah.
It's not a good retirement.
I get it. The people that have their vintage figures and they don't open their Origins because they're like, you know, I've already got an open vintage one, and so I don't want to open the Origins. I'm just going to keep them all in box. That's why I look for, you know, the ones that aren't hole punched and stuff. I get it, but, like, to me, the fun of a toy is in playing. And I'm definitely not going to drop $666.14 on a playset that never leaves the box. Like, I'm just not going to do that. That defeats the whole purpose.
Well, then buy two. Buy two.
Get two attorneys.
You know,
get one in box and get one out. Right.
You know, and
right.
And that's something, too. If you post a comment on there about you getting Eternia, tell us how many you're buying. I'd like to
know. Well, and let us know if you're buying it overseas or wherever.
Yeah.
I'd love to know what your shipping cost is.
Yeah.
Just to say, one, you crazy, but two, congratulations.
You know, but it's not even just the shipping, though. Like, the conversion from to pounds and stuff was...
Oh, I know, right?
Way up there.
Oh, I mean, there were people posting insane amounts. You know, $1,200-plus dollars.
Well, but I think those people were buying, like, three or four of them, though, or two or something. That wasn't just for one, I don't think, was it?
No.
Yeah,
it was for one.
I've had a couple of people post under my threads and say, you know, like, I'm definitely not going to get it because the conversion, it's 1,100, you know, conversion into their currency. And I'm just like, I would never think about that either. It's too much. That's too insane. Hope in a separate release, we do get Battleground Teela though.
Yeah.
That would be fantastic.
Awesome. Yeah. And I still hope that all these things, I hope there is a way to connect them to the other playsets. I hope this, when we get Snake Mountain, it does connect to it. I hope there's a way to connect Grayskull to it. You know, that would be great.
Man, I feel like Mattel was listening to me complain about Snake Mountain because the origin Snake Mountain is phenomenal. The prison, the tentacle monster, the throne.
Yeah,
well done, Mattel.
Heard our unaired episode because we had technical difficulties.
You know, and again, I know we talked about it a little bit on the last one, but I keep seeing it in my feed, but I'm just like, I mean, I think somebody, I don't remember who it was, like, said that they think that the snake was in the wrong spot, like it should have clicked in on the other side. Oh, they did? Oh, I didn't realize that.
Yeah, they said that it wasn't complete. It was still...
It's a prototype.
It's like, a prototype, but I guess they set it up quickly right before they took the shots of it.
But, I mean, regardless, like... I mean, I know, again, people are bitching about color. But again, it is first prototype. Like, it will go through multiple things. But, oh my god. Like, I'm just...
It could come out this way, though, and I'd be happy.
Oh, I know, right? I mean, it's literally almost perfection. But, like, that's why I think if you follow my Twitter, I was like, I did buy another Grayskull, and it's up behind me on my display here, because I'm like, I just want one in box, just in case, because we got one when they first came out, not, you know, about a year and a half ago, and my son, of course, can't find all of the armor or all the weapons or the ladder. Because, you know, that's the way kids are.
That's why I have a separate box that I have high up in the closet where my kids can't get to it, where I keep all the weapons.
You know, I have all the hands, all the extra weapons. I have them in Ziploc baggies literally right next to me in my desk drawer here. And so I've got it labeled Masters of the Universe, and I've got Marvel Legends. I've got whatever else in there.
Can we play with the weapons today? And I'm like, no, you haven't been good enough to play with the weapons today. Every once in a while we do it.
Buy them the ones online that are like chewed and be like, here's your chewed weapon. You can lose this one.
Yeah, my old childhood ones.
Hopefully Eternia does well enough that Mattel will crowdfund a Masterverse Castle Grayskull new Eternia version based on the original designs. With the actual mode of souls and everything. Mm-hmm. That would be fantastic. Well of Souls, yeah. Mode of Souls. One of those two. Battleran Blog will know. I'll reach out to him.
Yeah, I think it's Well of Souls, but don't quote me on that either. It just sounds good.
Yeah. So I have a question. So we were talking about what we wanted to talk about here. We talked about, like, Evil Horde. Oh my god. I remember watching so for those of you who don't know, I was able to see the He-Man movie in theaters at the Alamo Drafthouse here in Denver.
Talk about that and tell us what it was of us who didn't have access to one? Like, what, other than just the movie again, what was it?
Yeah, so they were, it was in L.A., Dallas, Denver, New York, I think, maybe. I don't remember. But so in LA, they were doing, they had Dolph there, and then they had, I blanked on his name, the guy who did the voice of He-Man in the 2000X, but they didn't do anything with him. They just said he was in the audience. But really, it was just kind of a live cast but they just interviewed Dolph like for probably 15, 20 minutes. It was nothing super crazy, but I think in LA they had a lot more stuff. Like I was seeing Masters post on Twitter, like some of the pictures and stuff. They had like cupcakes and stuff. But really for me, it was literally I walked in and just sat down and watched a little 10-minute preview, and then it was the movie. And it was so funny because like the day before I told my son, I was like, hey, we're going to go see this. And he's like, that's the stupidest movie ever. It's stupid. Skeletor's ugly. So then, like, I went and picked him up from school, and I was like, honestly, I had a really shitty day at work, and I was, like, not feeling it. And I was like, okay, so I'm going to give you this option. Like, we can go, or you can stay home, play with your He-Man figures, and we can watch any He-Man you want. Oh, no, I want to go. It's the best movie ever. And I'm like, mm-hmm. Boy, you just literally, the day before, I was like, it's because you just want to, it's just because you know you're going to stay out late, and, you know, but other than that, it was just the movie. But, like, it's so funny because, like, I was thinking about, again, look, with the Horde and everything, and I was like, I mean, at my age, I was about 7, so I was a little bit older, but I remember very vividly, like, you know, Skeletor, just the way it was a little scary for me. But I think the thing that scared me the most, it's going to be so weird, and it's not He-Man related at all, but I remember my mom, like, they went out when I was younger. They're like, oh, you can watch a movie. And this was VHS time, so this was not DVD time. But I remember, you know, we would record on the TV, and it was The Wizard of Oz. And I watched that dang Wicked Witch, and I got so scared, I locked myself in my bedroom. And, like, my parents came over, and I'm, like, crying. And I'm like, it's so funny because you don't think about it. Like, you think about the stuff kids watch today, and I'm like, oh, my God, I would have been traumatized for my entire life. But it was so cool. It was really, really cool to see it on the big screen, and walking out, I we told our son, we're like, I'm going to tell you, in the audience there's 1, 2, 3, 4, there was maybe 7 people, like, there, it wasn't full. Oh, really? At all. That's, yeah, and it was so weird, but I don't think it was really well advertised.
They didn't announce it that yet.
Yeah,
they just announced it like the day before or 2 days before.
Yeah,
but anyway, we were walking out, and we told our son, we're like, you know, you're a very lucky kid, because not many people your age will ever get to see this in the theater. Like, yeah, this is what we grew up on. This is what we saw. And so I think that helped him understand a little bit. Well, like, it may not have been the best movie in the entire world. I mean, but I think all in all, I think he really enjoyed it. And it was a great experience. And I'm really glad I got to do it, because I never did see it. And I, again, growing up in a small town in Kansas, we never got really a stuff like that. So it was really cool. So, again, not best movie ever, but it was just a lot of fun.
No, it's
there
it's
are parts of that movie, though, that I love.
Yeah, it's a horrible movie, but I love the movie. You know, and as an adult, what really scares me, though, is the was it chicken and rib scene, the barbecue scene? Because two parts to it. One is the idea that everybody in Eternia is a freaking vegan.
Well, but they knew what it was. They knew what it was.
And then the fact that Man at Arms is like, yeah, I've had this before. In a land of people that don't eat meat, that's kind of freaky.
Although, also, I think the most cringeworthy part for me was, like, when early on, or it was even at the end too, but, like, when Courtney Cox, like, gives He-Man a hug, and I'm like, dude is all sweaty and gross, and here you are, like, your head just all plastered up in there, and I'm like, no, thank you.
I can't remember. I'm gonna have to rewatch it now. Did she come away all baby oiled?
No, I know. That's what I was like. I was trying to watch this, see if she did, like, her hair sticking to him, like something about Mary, but it's like He-Man body oil. And I couldn't tell, because, like, I knew she really liked her boyfriend in the movie, or was gonna break up with him, but then, like, decided to stay together. But like, did she secretly crush on He-Man? Like, because at the end she was like, oh, I don't want to go, or, you know. But it's like, you know, like, again, the oil hug, and it's like, does she secretly like him, or
the scale of the castle in that movie, though, is perfection. I mean, it's massive. Even the, you know, the throne is just one eye. It's great. And then Skeletor and Evil-Lyn are perfect. I mean, they could not be done any better.
As a kid, though, I hated the design of Castle Grayskull from the outside. Just the outside.
Oh, yeah.
I'm like,
that is
not Castle Grayskull. But when you go inside, though, it's cool. The inside didn't look like it, but it was still cool, though.
I mean, really, it was like one walkway, two little sides, and then like two gaping holes, and that was really about it. And I was like, to me, I visioned more, you know, like, but, you know, Game of Thrones style throne, but, you know.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to lie, like, it's been so long ago since I saw this, like, I'm probably threw it on for our son probably 2 or 3 years ago, but like before that, it would have been in the 80s. I honestly forgot Beastman was even in it. Like, I was like, oh my God, he's in it. I completely forgot. He doesn't say a damn thing, but he was in it. And I was like, hey, that's
and he looks
cool.
And he looks a little rough.
Yeah, but he looked decent. I mean, for 80s, like, I mean, I thought they did a decent job for the 80s, or late 80s.
Yeah, for their constraints with budget and everything, they didn't do too bad.
It was just so different from every source of He-Man for me. Like, it wasn't like the toys. It wasn't like Filmation. It wasn't like the mini comics.
It was He-Man. He-Man meets Star Wars.
Yeah. It was definitely its own thing.
Well, and that's what Dolph was saying beforehand, because they were talking about it, and I don't remember what he called it, like, whatever Star Wars was, but, like, that epic crusade or, you know, whatever it is. And
the space opera?
Kind of. He didn't really say space opera, but kind of like that, like, it's a big, giant crusade, like, we're going on a mission and all of this stuff, and that's really what the director was going for. So, when you think of it in that light, it makes a lot of sense, but, again, I mean, you only get I Have the Power at the very end, and you're kind of like, he's kind of He-Man the whole time. Like, it would have been cool to see, like, a transformation from Adam to He-Man, or even, like, when at the end, when, like, Skeletor pulled him in and, like, had him in cuffs, like, had seen him power down and then grab the sword and say, you know, I have that power. And again, I know that would have given away who he was, but, you know, like, it would have been cool to see it, but, you know.
Well, and I get the making everything different, though, from a marketing standpoint. As a kid, I didn't understand that, but again, from Mattel's point of view, they wanted to sell more figures. Things were kind of dying down a little bit. They were hoping to revitalize it. You know,
but we didn't get a He-Man and Skeletor movie figure until Super 7.
Yeah. Yeah, it was kind of disappointing as far as that goes. Because I actually liked, I mean, again, it wasn't the He-Man that I was used to, but I still liked that He-Man design. I just wish that they would have done a transformation thing. Because again, you didn't need to make him a little skinny guy, because we were so used to, you know, the Clark Kent versus Superman look. You know, all he would have, you know, slump his shoulders a little bit more and throw on a pink tunic, and it would have been fine.
So, but New Adventures came out, what, 90s? That's what I'm looking up here 89. Online. 89. So, what, like 2 years after this one? So, I mean, I see kind of what they were doing, kind of setting the stage for it. But, yeah, I don't know. It was interesting. I enjoyed it. I'm glad I got to do it, you know. Would I do it again? Maybe not. But it was a lot of fun. I did ask the guy sitting next to me, because he actually brought his Super 7 He-Man figure. I told my son he didn't bring in his 40th. I was like, should have brought it. He's like, no, because I would have lost it. And I'm like, but I asked him if he bought Eternia, and he hadn't bought it yet. So he's like, I don't know, that price tag is so much. So it was fun. I should have taken our business cards. I didn't pass them out, but because there were only like 7 people there.
That would have been hilarious, though, if he would have been like, the what?
I know, right? that was my judging. But the fact that he had a He-Man figure.
You'd be surprised how many people come into my office, you know, patients, parents, whatever, and they're looking around my office because I got a bunch of shit in my office. Toys everywhere. I got Star Wars wall, I got a Superman wall, and then I got all my He-Man stuff, and they look at my stuff and they're like, oh, I used to have those as a kid. And I'm like, well, I'm like, these ones over here are the ones that I had as a kid, but these ones here are new. They're like, they have new ones? Yes.
And then they come back to you because they have a buying addiction of He-Man, like all of us. Uh-huh. That's how you keep it going.
Yes. Did you all see that the actor who is playing He-Man said that they were going to start filming in April of next year, and that he's going to be on a very intense workout diet regimen until then?
Yep.
Yeah, the calorie count.
What do you all think about that?
I think the calorie count's a little too low. Most people usually do around like 5,000. I think he said 4,000. I mean, hell, I think all three of us do about 4,000.
Yeah, for sure.
Hey, I had edamame for dinner tonight. I'm eating healthy. After this, I'm going to go have a rocket pop popsicle.
What are your thoughts on that? What do you think it's going to be? Do you think it's going to be the CGI He-Man? Do you think we're going to get more along with the toys? What do you kind of think the vibe's going to be?
I don't know.
There's so many ways you could go about it. I mean, I almost like to think they're going to do more vintage, you know, Filmation, you know, original toy type style. But they could totally do the new one, or they could just again try to do the same thing they tried to do the first time and do something completely different and sell different toys. Yeah.
I don't know if they're going to stick with what they've already released, but the writer slash directors came out with the blurb that said that, again, it's going to follow the format of Adam doesn't know he's the prince and he's off with the tribe, and then he finds out he's He-Man.
Well, but I think they were going off of this.
They could change that.
But I think they were probably just going off CGI because that, I mean, you know these writers who've maybe never seen Masters of the Universe, and that's the most recent one, and so they assume that that's the story. I don't know. Maybe, maybe not, but I hope not.
I mean, I love the He's Lost in the Tribe because it's it's like taking the Adam Filmation version and the original mini comic version and smushing them together. So I still get my He-Man comes from the tribe in the jungle from the mini comic, but they work Adam into it. So I do like that. I'm anxious to see what this look is going to be like. As far as, you know, what kind of tone and depiction of He-Man they're going to go for. I'm excited to see that. And I did watch the Sandra Bullock, Channing Tatum movie that these same writers and directors did. And it was really well done.
Yeah, so it was funny.
They bring that same level of humor and adventure into He-Man. I think I'll be a very happy person.
Yeah, I just really hope they do a transformation sequence, though. Because I think there's something to be said about. And Rhino, you'll freak out about this idea, but unless they go the original mini comic way, and it's, you know, just He-Man, and he's, you know, gets a couple of harnesses, got the power harness, and
if you're trying to seduce me, this is the way to do it. Like, if you're trying to whisper sweet nothings into my ear, that's how you do it. I mean, I would be totally fine if there was no Adam, or if they made it like CGI where he, you know, he is Adam, but didn't know he was a prince and all that stuff. I'm totally cool with that. I looked at his CV and he has a pretty, you know, impressive resume. I'm sure he can act. I just don't know how they're going to bulk him up to He-Man level without an insane expensive CGI makeover, or we're going to get a really, swimmer's body He-Man. I just can't see this guy ever getting up to like Henry Cavill size.
Yeah, but even Henry Cavill wasn't Henry Cavill size before. And same with Helmsworth. He wasn't, when he first auditioned for Thor and stuff, he wasn't, you know, completely bulked up either.
Yeah, maybe just, they'll turn him into a He-Man. But
same with, I don't know if you've seen him lately, was it Will Poulton, or I can't say his name right. The eyebrow dude.
The guy who's playing Adam Warlock in the Guardians of the Galaxy movie?
Because he has Poulter up too. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, talk about transformation from, you know, Adam to He-Man. That's freaking, he has bulked up huge.
Yep. One thing I do agree with Ryan on is if they are going to do Adam, I hope that they do what we both like, which is Adam physically looks very different than He-Man. Yeah. You know, he's the little kid. He doesn't look identical. Like you said, it's not Dolph in a pink shirt. It is definitely a different actor. I hope they go that route. I just enjoy that so much more than...
Get like some 14-year-old kid, 15-year-old kid. And have him transform, you know, just like they did with Shazam. I mean, they did a great job with that with Shazam.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, most definitely.
Yeah, except the kid in that movie is way more mature than Shazam.
Oh, I know. It's great. Yeah. It's like he reverses about like 6 years.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. The wisdom of Solomon leaves him when he turns into Shazam. And then when he goes back to Billy... He's
a little bit more streetwise. Yeah.
Yeah.
That turns into behind Shazam me is the new Shazam figure right there. I'm excited. It was good. The gold label McFarlane one. It looks really cool. Yeah. Big Shazam fan here.
No, I love Shazam though. I can't wait to see the new movie when it comes out.
Yes. I've heard Black Adam's really good, so I'm hoping. But it also comes out the same day Gotham Knights. So I'm like, ooh, do I go watch the movie or do I play Gotham Knights?
I wasn't sure if I was going to go see Black Adam or not, but I really want to see Superman. So I'm going to have to go in there. You know, spoilers, but everybody freaking knows already.
Should have said that like about 30 seconds ago.
And they released that, and I was like, I don't care. And then they were like, and then you hear John Williams score swell as Henry Cavill steps on screen. And I was like, oh, they're using the John Williams score?
And the color. The color's great, though. It's a brighter blue. It's a brighter red. You know, it's more comic color.
Yeah.
Yeah, I heard I heard somebody, I know we're totally off topic, but I heard somebody, they got to see the premiere, and they're like, DC's back. If they stick with this, like, they're back. So here's hoping. Fingers crossed.
Well, it's not completely off topic. We're talking about transformations.
Yeah, exactly. Definitely. Yeah.
Well, I already dropped Clark Kent and Superman once before, so.
Yeah.
If you're going to go all in on transformations, then, again, I love the new CGI comic where everyone gets a transformation. You know, Tila, Man-at-Arms.
You mean Power Ranger?
Ram-Bam. Stop it. You know, Skeletor, Evil-Lyn, Beast-Man, they all get a transformation. So, I'm, you know, if you're going to go
everybody all in on but Triclops.
Do it.
Triclops doesn't get a transformation. He just builds on somebody else.
Yeah, but we were, you know, there is a campaign online right now, Justice for Justine. Where we're trying to get
I want that figure.
Mattel to make a Justine figure.
Yep.
She was the best host of Triclops. I don't understand why. Especially once at the end when he's good. Like, she should definitely wear him. Mm-hmm. Unless she's just that evil and she's like, nah, now that he's a good guy, I don't want any part of him.
Yeah.
But Justice for Justine, where's that figure?
Yeah. And don't get me wrong, I actually love that. I love the Triclops character in that show. You know, I was kind of on the fence about it at first, but I really like the way they did it.
Yeah.
So I'm not going to lie, we started season 3, and so I know briefly what you're talking about, because I saw Triclops come in. I'm like, it's a girl. And then now that you say that it changes hosts, makes a lot of sense now. So I wasn't fully watching it, but it was on in the background.
Yeah, for anybody who's on the fence about the CGI cartoon, please watch season 3. You know, I think we all kind of had different issues with season 2 of different things we didn't like. But, man, season 3 just, I've watched it multiple times. It knocks it out of the park.
Yep.
Great ending, great story, great everything. It's brilliantly done.
And for those who are on the fence about Revelation, please watch part 2 also, Rhino.
Rhino.
I don't know if you all are still talking. There's definitely some interference on my end. I can't. If you all are there, I can't hear you. I assume you're just talking about the Horde. We're tying it back into the Horde.
We just need to start making fake storylines about it, you know, to get things excited, like when the Green Goddess shows up, you know.
Oh, you know you sucker me in with the Green Goddess.
Oh, look, his audio just happens to be working.
I do love her. So,
or when Tila and Andra kiss and start making out, you know, all that good stuff.
Are you all on cellular because you're drunk now? I don't understand what you're
Green
saying.
Green Goddess.
Hordak shows up at the end of season 3 of the CGI cartoon. Yes, Hordak does show up. You do get to see Hordak in the CGI cartoon.
Maybe so. In Revelations you might see it too.
You might see it too in Revelations.
Back to the Halloween Horde.
The Halloween horrors?
Nothing's more scary than when you add technology into it.
Right? I do have to say that scene where her and Tila and Andra break in there, and it just with Sarah Michelle Gellar playing Tila, I was just very Buffy in my head, and I was like, oh yeah, this is awesome. I know she wasn't doing anything, but it was still like very much Buffy. I'm a big Buffy fan too, so. But I think with that, I think we're getting close to time here. I mean, you guys. Thank you for joining us. Like, it's been awesome. Like, have an amazing Halloween. If any of you are dressing up or if your kids are dressing up, you know, within reason, you know, don't give away any, you know, if you don't want to post your kids' pictures online. We'd love to see pictures of your kids or you as anybody dressed up for He-Man. Unfortunately, my son is going as Spider-Man, as he says, $20.99 $99.99. So, I'm like, it's 2099. You're putting in too many 20s and 99s in there. But he's going as that. So no He-Man here. But yeah, we'd love to see it. You know, you feel free to tag us on Twitter, Collector's Power, or any of us as well. We'd love to see it. I mean, with that, guys, anything you want to add to our closing here?
Ultimately, I don't know. We talked about our favorite Horde mini comics, but really, is there a bad mini comic? They're all fantastic.
No, there's not a bad mini comic. Yeah. They're all, even the new ones, the old ones, they're all phenomenal.
Mm-hmm. Yep. It's a great ride. And again, I will link to the mini comic compendium on the Collectors of Power podcast. That way, if you are interested, it is on sale right now for like 48% off, so it's like $28. It's definitely worth it. Every well penny. I know Rhino likes his digitally. I have it both ways, but there's just nothing like reading, sitting down. It's 900 pounds. It hurts my shoulder. I'm old, but like,
I just can't take that to work with me every day.
I know.
I just can't carry it around.
I was almost going to take it on the plane when we went on vacation, but I was like, no, I'll just take the digital, but I'll link to it. That way you're more than welcome to check it out and follow along. But it's been great, guys, as always, it is a pleasure shooting the shit with you. I look forward to next time. And yeah, have a great evening, everyone.
All right, have a great evening. Battle Armor Demons of a Seaman. Bye.
Revelations Part 2. Watch it.